Today's daf in Masechet Gittin is daf Lamed Vav, and the next thing that we got up to in the Mishnah is that Ha'edim Chotmim Alaget Mipnei Tikkun Olam. So there was a takana. The other takana that we said was Mipnei Tikkun Olam, Edim should sign on the get. Now, how is that Mipnei Tikkun Olam? I thought that's a diraita. I mean, doesn't it say, I mean, diraita meaning that it's based on, this is really a pasuk in Tanakh, but it means that it's certainly not a takana of Tikkun Olam. It means it comes already from the Zman of the Nevi'im. So over there it says, remember the whole story, where Yirmiyahu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to begal the Soda, to sign a document, to take the document, to put it into containers that will keep it for many decades and so on. So over there, one of the things that it said, it we saw before, V'katov b'sefer v'chatom. So you have to write this in a sefer, which is a shtar, v'chatom, and then it says, v'ha'ed edim, which means, v'chara, you need both v'chatima of the edim and ya'ed edim, an edim mesira. I mean, what in the world does this mean? That all of a sudden we realize that there's a din of edus. How does that work? Omar Rabba, well, lo tzricha ela l'Rebbe Elazar. According to Rabbi Elazar, remember, Rabbi Elazar holds that the chatimata edim in the document is not what makes the get. What makes the get is edim misira. So the question is, do you need edim on the document at all, according to Rabbi Elazar? This was the point that since, according to him, you'd be able to just give over the get with edim misira, so they made a takana, what happens if something happens to the edim misira? So they made a takana that there should be edim that are actually signed on the document itself, so that in the event that you cannot find the edim misira, maybe the edim misira died, maybe the edim misira moved away. And therefore, we'd be able to be mekayim the get through the chatimot on the get. Now, that doesn't prove that she was megureshet, but it proves that there is a get that the Baal wrote her, and then put that together with the fact that the get is in her hands. So if 20 years later the Baal comes along and he's ma'arer, that she can say, look, I have the get, and it's definitely a get that he wrote because there are witnesses that attest to that, and how did I get the get if he didn't give it to me? So therefore, put the two things together, and we have basically an edus on a garrison. Garrison. So takin rabbonin edi chatima, v'pnei tikkun olam, dezimni demaite sahade. Sometimes these edim will disappear. Inami. They'll die. Or what if they move away? Rabbi Yosef says, you can't explain the takana only aliba de Rabbi Elazar. I mean, so how does it work out aliba de Rabbi Meir? A feel of Rabbi Meir. There was a takana. What do you mean? You'll say aliba de Rabbi Meir, the khatima on the get is gufa, part of the nature of a contract. I mean, it's a deraisa. That's what's mekayim the actual contract. Remember that according to Rabbi Meir, the Iker Din of the Katavla in terms of the Lishma is Dafka the Chatimata Edim. So why would we need a Takana to have Edim? It doesn't mean a Takana to have Edim. What it means, says Rabbi Yosef, according to Rabbi Meir, it means, and this is going to sound very funny to us, because to us, the meaning of Edim is to identify yourself as Edim so that you could be called upon, so to speak, to testify. But that's not what edim means in the Torah. Remember that the chatima does not have to identify the edim, because that's not the point. We just need to know that someone was chotim. Now, if somebody signs the shtar and writes, I am someone, and I am signing, that would be perfectly okay, right? So if that would be okay, then the takana is to actually write your name in the get, when you sign, and if that's not decipherable, so fine, so put your name in there, but the point is that we must be able to identify the edim, because that way, what happens, imagine, if somebody signs, I am someone, okay, so how are we ever going to be mekayim that get? We can't put out a notice, if anybody knows someone, they should come to Beis Din and identify their signature. So we'll never be able to get the signature identified unless by some miracle we find another star that was Mekuyim in Beis Din and that has exactly that same handwriting. But, I mean, that's almost impossible. Certainly very unlikely. So the takana is that we should write the name of the Edom as the signature. That's the point. And this way, if the Ede Mesira would disappear according to Rebbe Elazar, so we'll be able to actually find them. And according to Rebbe Meir, we will be able to find them in order to be Mekayim the get in case of an RR of the Baal. That's how to look at it. So Hitkinu Shiyu Edim Mefarshim Shmoteyem Begitin Mipnei Tikkun Olam. The point, therefore, is that the Edim should actually write their full name, Kiritanya, and that's Gufa, like we saw, Brishona, Hayakotev Ani Ploni Chatamti Ed. Rashi learns that this means literally, I am someone signing. And he didn't even mention his first name, he didn't mention any name. And then if anything would happen, they wouldn't be able to be Mekayim, because it would only be Ktav Yado Yotzei Mimakom Acher Kasher Vim Lafasur. So if they happened to find another shtar that had that handwriting and that had a handpick of the court on it, so that it would be kasher. But there would be no way for the Beis Din to ask anyone who can recognize someone's handwriting to come forth. Obviously, that's not the point. So because of that, came along Rebbe Gamliel, and Rebbe Gamliel came and he said, Takana gedola yitkinu, sheyu mefarshim shmoteihem begitin, mimnei tikkun olam. This is how Rashi understands it, that they literally wrote the word ploni, ani ploni ed. Okay, the Beit Shmuel understands that in terms of the halacha, that originally they would write ani ploni, I so-and-so, meaning their first name, ani Shimon. There's so many Shimons. How are you going to find somebody that can identify the signature? So that what they did was that they added Shimon ben, whoever it is. Okay, Lamaisa, this is Rashi's approach, that ani ploni ed, and the mashmaut from the Gemara, later on as we'll see, is also the same as Rashi. Asks the Gemara, so what you're telling me is that you must write your name in the signature. You're telling me that if you have some kind of glyph, you can't use the glyph as a signature? It's got to be your actual name? Ubisimon alo? I mean, Rav never signed his name. Rav would always draw a picture of a fish, and that was his glyph, you know? Rabbi Chanina, well, he was thinking about the palm trees on the beach. He would always draw a beautiful palm tree. And Rav Chista would always draw a samach, because a samach, remember, roya samach b'chalom, that was a remes to Chista. And Rabba Baravuna, he was like on Richie's side, and he would always draw a sailboat, you know, because he'd rather be sailing, basically. So I can't even get a smile from Richie because he's busy eating his porridge. Come on, Rich. Come on back. Anyway, so he would draw a sail. Now, these people had class, let me tell you. Anyway, but how can you say that you have to write your name? Who is going to be able to know who that is? Well, that's the Rabbanan. I mean, everybody knows that the only guy who would draw a sail on a get is Rabba Baravuna. So that was just as good as actually writing your name. I mean, these are famous people, you know. I mean, well, you're gonna wonder whose signature that is. Well-known, famous signatures. So Shani Rabbanan, Tebeki and Simanayu. These are like Hollywood signatures, for heaven's sakes. Who's not going to recognize? But wait a minute. That's now. But how did it get started? I mean, at some point or another, they would have had to sign a contract with a sailboat. And then they would never accept that contract because nobody knew who the sailboat was. So how could you get the fact that this is your signature out there in the first place? That's simple. Everybody knows how to do that. You send out a disky, the guy plugs it into his USB port, the signature comes up, and it identifies who it is. So it's a disky. They would do that with a disky. And maybe in those days, a disky actually meant just regular letters, you know. But less me the Dolora Misa the Oraita. Okay, so that was that takana. So we have two approaches, in which case we don't have any problems with the way that the Rabbi Meir understands it, Rabbi Elazar understands. We're going to ask them, I don't understand, according to you, why did they have to make this takana, Rabbi Meir? It's ridiculous. They made a takana, according to you, that was the ikkuksiva again. Fine, so now we understand that obviously we're not going to be able to bring a raya from this takana gedola to either the sheet of Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara that originally did it was, okay, I know we don't hold a Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosef was saying, of course it works out a little bit of Rabbi Meir, but it's a different takana, not of the signature per se, but of the identifiable signature to allow for Kiyam in the event of a challenge to the get 20, 30 years later. How are we going to find it? Okay. The next thing that we had was the very important question of the Prusbel. So, if we remember the last Mishnah that we had in Shvi'is, it says over there, Prusbel eno meshamit. So if somebody wrote a Prusbel, or it was Moshe Shtarotov Lebeidin, the Mishnah says, it would not be meshamit. Now the Prusbel, ze echad min advarim, continues the Mishnah, ze echad min advarim shitkin hilel azakein. Why did he make this takana? Shira'a et ha'am shinimnu'u milahalvot ze etze. He saw that people were not lending money. And of ruah mashikatuv ba'torah, as Shemitah came near, people would get very nervous. If I make a loan now, what if the guy doesn't pay back on time? And then the loan is going to be canceled by Shemitah. But the Torah was very makbid on that problem at all. Because the Torah says, you have to be careful. Yishar melecha. Yishar melecha is a lashon of lo ta'aseh, remember. Pen yeh davarim levavcha b'lial. B'lial means terrible thing, that you're going to have an evil thing in your heart. And what will that be? Ra'a einecha be'achicha hevyon. This is terrible. So he saw that people were being nichshal in this, and the only way that that could be avoided is if there would be some mechanism by which they wouldn't have to worry about getting their money back. So therefore, he went out, amad vidkin prusbel, v'zeo gufashal prusbel, continues the Mishnah. Mosrani lechem ploni uploni adayanim, Shabamokam Ploni is actually the Lashon of the Mishnah. Shekol Chov, Sheyesh Lietzu Ploni, Sheegvenu Kozman Sheretze. So any debt that I have, we don't really need to say it's a Ploni. Any debt that I have, I should be allowed to collect that debt whenever I want to. V'adayanim Chotmim Lamata. So now the question is precisely what that means. It's Machlokas Rishonim. According to Rashi, we're talking about the equivalent of Misirush Tarotov LeBeidin. So somebody gives over to the Beis Din the power of his documents that he has to collect. So basically the collection is being done by Beis Din and not by him. And the whole issur of collecting is Lo Yigos Et Re'ehu. So even though he didn't literally hand over his Shtarot LeBeis Din, the Prusbel is effectively handing over the Shtarot LeBeis Din. Now if that's true, then it's going to be limited to a milva bishtar. Because if you're telling me that the fundamental mechanism of Prusbel makes use of the collection of Beis Din with a shtar, so then what do I do with an oral loan? Other Rishonim learned that it doesn't work through Mesir Shtarosu with Beis Din. It's just brought together with that halacha, but that this is a completely new halacha in which we give Beis Din the keach of collection. Now, in a moment, we're going to ask, how is that possible? The Dayanim sign underneath, or the Edim, we already discussed that issue. What do you mean Dayanim or Edim? Is it Dayanim or Edim? Is it two people or is it three people? Okay, we explained that earlier. And now the Gemara wants to talk about the basic question. How in the world could Hillel cancel Shemitah? This is crazy. Mi'ika midi midiraita misham tashmiyas. V'itkin Hillel shalom mishamit. How could Hillel cancel out a D'oraisa? The Rabbanan don't make takanas to cancel D'oraisas. Omer Abaye, Mishviit Bizman Hazeh. We're talking about Ishviyas nowadays, according to Rebbe. And Rebbe learns that Shviyas today, at least in terms of Hashmatat Ksafim, is only the Rabbanan. Where does he learn it from? Rebbe Omer. The Torah says, V'zed var hashmita, shamot kol baal mashe yado, asher yashe b'reyehu. Fine. but it says, Dvar HaShemitah Shamot. Now that means that there seems to be an interrelationship of two levels of Shemitah. B'shtei Shemitot HaKatuv Medaber. We talk about Shemitah, which is basically letting go. So letting go during Yovel means letting go of your ownership of your property that you bought, and now it turns out that as part of the Nachla of Eretz Yisrael, it was someone else's Nachla. You have to let go of your purchase. Very painful thing to do. And it goes back to the person whose Nachla it was. But then it mentions Shemitah Shamot. Well, what else do I have to let go of? My loan. Somebody owes me money. There's another halacha, which is not a Yovel halacha, it's a Shemitah halacha. But that means that these two elements of Shemitah are put together here. And therefore, one of them being Shemitat Karka, one of them being Shemitat Ksefim. And therefore, the Torah is telling me, Bizman she'ata meshamet karka, ata meshamet ksefim. Bizman she'i'ata meshamet karka, i'ata meshamet ksefim. So now the question over here, which Tosfos raises, is that the Lashon over here seems to be referring specifically to the issue of Shemitah's Ksafim, not to the general din of Shemitah. And there seems to be an awful lot of places where we bring this same drasha as a limud that the entire halacha of Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is only Derabbanan. This is something that we discussed when we were learning the Mishnah in Shviyas, which Bezrat Hashem will get back to. I had thought even we might get back to today, but as I can not really see very much, I'm going to have to wait. But in any event, so we'll talk about that. But certainly over here, it's telling me that there's no din of Shemitah's Mamon. There's no din Midiraisa nowadays. This makes a lot of sense if you think about it, right? Because there's two completely different elements in both Yovel and the Shemitah every 7 years. One of those elements is working the land, raising things, eating things that were worked on the land. And that's a totally different issue, which has to do with ownership. And that is something else. I mean, there's a din of ownership in Yovel that changes because we go back to Nachala. And there's a din of ownership in Shemitah which changes, which is that we don't have a right to collect a debt. So that the Torah should put these two things together in terms of this super issue, which has to do with ba'alut on things, as opposed to the way in which you interact with the land and the question of what rights you have to use the land. Those are different things. So this part, the Torah has put together very clearly. And therefore, b'zman she'i'ata meshamet karka, Yata Meshamet Ksafim. We know that we nowadays are not Meshamet Karka because the Torah specifically relates the din of the Hashmatat Karka to Bizman Sheko Yisrael Aleha. And it talks about the Nachala of all of Yisrael. So if you don't have all of Yisrael, then Lechora you don't have any din of Yovel at all. And since Bizman Hazeh, there is not Kol Yisrael Aleha, so therefore there should be no Yovel. Now this is a big question, because the meaning of Kol Yisrael Aleha, the question would be, how about during the Zman of the second Beis HaMikdash? So you didn't have Kol Yisrael in the second Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, many Rishonim learned that during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is the time that we had the Takana of Prisbal. That's why this is so nogea, because Hillel lived during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, if you're going to tell me the original Takana was during a time when there was Yovel, so then we're back to our question again, right? Now, many understand that you don't have Kol Yisrael Aleha, and when the Gemara said in Erechid, remember, which we learned, that even though they did count the Shemitahs, it says first they counted Shemitahs, they counted Shemitahs in order to count, they counted the Yovlos in order to define when Shemitah was, which is mashma that Yovel was not Nayek. But, as Tosis points out, that's because the Gemara originally assumed that when the Aseres HaShvatim went into Golus and they were sent away to different places, and that was specifically in order to make an exchange of populations and so on, so there were no members of the Aseres HaShvatim. The Gemara in the end comes out over there that actually that Yirmiyahu went, was Marzir, not all of them, but was Marzir members of the Aseres HaShvatim back to Eretz Yisrael during the time of Yoshiyahu still. And that Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda, if you remember, the Gemara brings in Raya that Yoshiyahu was active in the Shomron, and that means that there were members of the Aseres HaShvatim. And Tosfos' approach all along is, you don't need everybody to be in Eretz Yisrael, but you do need for all of the Yud Beis Shvatim to be representative. But they were represented, because it says that Yirmiyahu brought them back. So therefore, it would turn out that if Yirmiyahu brought them back, so then we did have those people that were there. This is a question. So what then was Hillel Metaken? Was he not Metaken for his time? He was Metaken for post-Churban because he foresaw? Okay, all of these questions, Bezrat Hashem, we'll talk about more detail when we get back to the Shemitah. If you'll please forgive me. Very, very inconvenient. Anyway. Fine. So therefore, we only had to deal with the Darabanan. And only dealing with the Darabanan, we were able to make our takana. V'takinu. So because of that, what happened is like this. The Rabbanan were mitakein that Shemitah should work bizman hazeh, min Rabbanan. And therefore we needed to deal with that takana de Rabbanan. That's what it's referring to. So Hillel saw that people were being over on, what it says, people were being over on the pasuk. Well, many of the mafarshim say, what's the difference? Whether the reason you're not lending people is because of a Shemitah de Arise or a Shemitah de Rabbanan. The Torah says, be careful not to have a bad attitude towards Achicha Hevyon and refuse to lend the money because you're all worried about yourself. What's the difference whether you're worried about yourself is Midiraisa, Alon, open eyes? Whether the worry about yourself is the Araisa, or the worry about yourself is because of the Rabbanan. And the bottom line is there a Dover B'Lialim Levavcha or not? Fine, so that's why we brought the Pasuk before. Anyway, so the Rabbanan made this takana. How could the Rabbanan make a takana, the Gemara is going to ask, that people should not pay back their loans? That's crazy. If there's no D'Oraisa, the Rabbanan are going to throw out people's loans? All right, we'll talk about it in a moment. But the Rabbanan made that takana. Having made that takana, then Ra'a Hillel Shenimnu Ha'am La'avod Zed said, because of the Rabbanan, he was Omad Vitkin Prusbo, and that means that the Prusbo was basically a takana to prevent the takana of the Rabbanan. So even though the Rabbanan said you're not supposed to collect a loan, he created a mechanism to allow collection of a loan through Beis Din, and therefore it was only a way of being mevatel a Rabbanan and not a D'Oraisa.
Why didn't he just mevatel the Rabbanan straight up?
We'll see in a minute. Ask the Gemara, who me ika midi de midiraita lo mishameta chviyas for Rabbanan tikno de mishtashamet. How did the Rabbanan make such a crazy takana? How can they come along and say people should not be able to collect their loans? That's horrifying. So they can say it'll cancel the loans? Omer Abaye, well, listen, it's not that they're saying to do something against the Torah. They're saying to passively don't pay, you don't have to pay back your loan. That's not, it's telling me to get up and do against the Torah. It's a sheval tasa. So we have a general klal that the Rabbanan could be mitakein, something with a sheval tasa, and therefore they were mevatel by passively not doing it. They were mevatel this mitzvah of paying back your loan. I mean, listen, the Rabbanan are mevatel blowing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah if it's Shabbos. How can they do that? Because it's passive. The Rabbanan and Mevatel taking your lulav on Shabbos to D'Oraisa, They tell you not to take it. So that type of thing can be done by the Rabbanan. Rava says, we don't have to come on to that. Remember that we're dealing over here with issues of monetary ownership. Hefker bezdin ay hefker. You don't have to worry about being bavat or something if the bezdin can assign ownership. So then if the bezdin says that we're going to assign the ownership of this money to the collector, to the lender, so then what's the problem? You're not being over on anything. It's in order, as Rashi points out, that obviously bezdin is not given the rights to arbitrarily define ownership, but in order to make a siyog for the Torah and to make society better for Yisrael, so then the Rabbanan were given the koyach of bezdin, in which case bezdin was simply mafkir the money or reassign the money. And we learned Amr of Yitzchak Minayin Shefker Bezdin Ayah Hefker, because we find that at the time of Ezra, when they found so many people that were married to Shiksas, and they wanted everybody to get rid of their non-Jewish wives, and they made this massive tshuva meeting, and anybody that didn't come to the meeting, they warned, Kol asher lo yavo l'shloshet hayamim ba'atzat asarim v'azikinim, whoever doesn't show up in the 3 days when we're having our meeting, yechoram kol rechusho, everything that he owns is going to be taken away from him, uhu yibadel mikal agola, and he will be considered to be out of the entire Kal Yisrael here that are now in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, that's not where we learn it from. We learn it from the actual Nachal of Eretz Yisrael. It says, Ele ha-Nachalot asher nichalu el, I should say, it's really not Nachal, I'm sorry, but I just really don't see. So Ele ha-Nachalot is because it's talking about the being manchil, not the Nachalot. So Elo Hanchalot Asher Nichalu El Azara Kohen V'Yoshua Binun V'Roshei Ha'avod. So there where it's talking about the way in which Eretz Yisrael was split up between the Shvatim. So it says this is the way, very strange thing to say, Roshei Ha'avod. What's Roshei Ha'avod? Roshei Ha'avod? These were the Roshei Ha'matot. The Nisim of each Mata, right? So how did the Avot get in here? Asks Rebbe Eliezer, what's this business of Avot? Ma inyan roshim etzel avot. The avot are not. Avot was just the ancient way in which I understand that Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda is called Yehuda because there was someone called Yehuda that started that Shevet. I mean, but why are we referring back to the avot? To teach me a very important din. Lomar lecha ma avot manchilin et bneihem. Kol ma sheyirtzu af roshim manchilim ha'am kol ma sheyirtzu. So it's to teach me that the idea of a bezdin being manchil, which are the roshei ha-nisiyim, so they can be manchil the same way a father can be manchil. Since a father can set, now this is actually not so poshut because it's a big machlokas whether a father can actually change the way that the nachala goes, and it's not so poshut. But we know that there is such a thing in terms of a shchimira, right? And that the person could sit down and alpiv, we're going to actually give different yerushas to different children. And therefore, it must be that that keach was given to Bezdin also. So if that's the case, then we have, remember, there's a big difference between these two limudim, gentlemen, as the Rashba points out. If you learn from Ezra, Yehoram kol rechusho, you don't have any raya that a bezdin can reassign ownership. You only have a raya that hefker bezdin hefker, but that doesn't allow bezdin to give the money to somebody else. If you learn it from the second pasuk, from the inyan of nachlas eretz yisrael, so then again, as the Rashba points out, this is telling me that bezdin can reassign ownership. And if that's the case, then the principle would be working through actually giving the malva the money from the Lova. Okay. In any event, so we have the basic idea over here. Now, there's a big machlokas about how to understand this basic idea. Because we have two approaches, right? We have a bias approach. A bias approach is Sheva al Tase. The Rabbanan are able to be Mavato, even a Diraisa with Sheva al Tase. And Rava learns that it would be Hefker Besdin Hefker. So now the question is, how far does this machlokas extend between Abaya and Rava? Because Rashi learns that Rava is going back to the beginning. Rava is saying all of your questions. You had, first your question was, how could Hillel be mitakin? Then you came up with all of this business, and you said, well, it's only the Rabbanon. So then your question was, how were the Rabbanon mitakin? But now we don't need to go into any of that, you know, because basically, even if you don't hold of Rebbe, says, this is how Rashi understands Rava, even if you don't hold of Rebbe, that Shemitah Bisman Hazeh is the Rabbanon. Let's say that Shemitah is the Araisa. If you're using my Svara of Hefker, Best, and Hefker, then that would mean that principle works on a Araisa. So you don't have to get into any of this. This is the way Rashi understands Rava. So Rava is saying the entire discussion is moot. You made it work out only Aliba de Rebbe. It can work out according to anybody. If you hold Shemitah as the Araisa, then the issue is that the principle works through Hefker, Best, and Hefker, and therefore everything is not a problem in the first place. And there are other Rishonim. The Ravid learns like this as well. Other Rishonim learn like Rashi. Rava is actually not dependent on Shemitah Bizman Hazeh being Rabbanan at all. Now, Tosis over here argues, and he says, Rava's not coming to change the Iker Din. He's only coming to explain how the Chachomim made a Takana that even though Midiraisa, Shemitah, Ksofim, is not supposed to be applied Bizman Hazeh, how did the Rabbanan come along and say that we are going to make a takana to cancel loans? That Rava is answering because of Hefker, Best than Hefker. But when it comes to the Iker takana of Prusbel, Rava is also moda that it's only a Prusbel if Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbanan. Okay. So now the question is, says the Gemara, how exactly did this takana go into effect? Was this a takana that was based, and this has to do with Alon's question earlier. I said we'll be seeing this. Was the takana of Hillel, was that meant to be a new way of being noheg, or was it just a local takana for his generation? In other words, during the time in which people are rotten, or maybe the economy is bad, but whatever it is that made it, that people weren't lending money. So we have a way around that. In such times, you can use a prusbel. In other times, then he never did that because he's not. I'm not saying that this is the way things should be from this time on. So what was this then? If it's a restructuring of the entire concept for all times, so then as Alon asks, I mean, why not just be mevatel the takana, the original takana of the Rabbanan? So first of all, the question is, can Hillel be mevatel the takana? We're about to see that he cannot. But the second issue is that obviously the fundamental takanas are the things that should remain untouched, and the way of dealing with problems that arise b'meshach hadorot, those are the things that the later Besdin should deal with. So let's take a look at the difference in this question. Iboilu, ki hitkin Hillel prusbel, ledare hu detakin, odem ledare almanami takin. Was this a local takana for his time, or was this a change in the way in which we keep Shemitah? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina gufa is this question. Can the prusbel be canceled at a later time? Livatule. You see, if Hillel made this takana for his own period in which people were being over on Hisham Lacha Penya Davarim Lavavcha B'liyal. So then if we see that people are getting better, the economy is improving, people are more makbid on the Dinei Torah, then we can cancel the takana of Hillel. But if you're going to tell me that Hillel changed the fundamental way in which we collect debts, Iyam the Dore Alma Nabi Takin, then you would be unable to cancel Hillel's takana until you come up with a Besdin that is greater than Hillel. Well, that's going to mean, obviously, that currently you would be unable to be mevatel that takana. So ha'ein beit din yochol levatel divrei beit din chaveroh elim ken gadol emenu b'chokhmah uv minyan. And therefore, since we don't have any Bezdin after the time of Hillel that is in any way comparable to Hillel, so there's nothing to do. We're going to have to allow people to write principles. So what's the din? Tashma. Shmuel once said, a principle can only be written in the highest court. So maybe in the Beit Din of Sura, the Beit Din of the Naharda. So you can actually write a principle, Bizman HaZeh, but it would only be in a Bezdin that has that kayach of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, because it means that we don't rely on the principle itself and say, what do you mean? Hillel made the takana, and Hillel is utilizing the kayach of Hillel's Bezdin of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, so who cares which Bezdin you are semechana writing the principle? Why would it have to be to the top Bezdin in the country, in which all of Yisrael are going to be listening to that? But if you're going to tell me, says the Gemara, Isak adaitach adari aman amitakin, if this was an overall takana for all times by Hillel, so then fine, write the principle based on Hillel. So b'shar beidin anami lichtivu, you should be able to write a principle at any time, even though you don't necessarily have a Bezdin now that is able to be, just go and arbitrarily take away people's money because Hefker Bezdin Hefker. That should still be okay. But that doesn't prove anything. Because how do you know that the original Takana of Hillel, if it's true that it was based on Hefker Bezdin Hefker, then it may be that the original Takana of Hillel was that any Bezdin which has the kirchas of a Bezdin like mine can be referred to in a principle, and therefore will be using the Hefker Bezdin Hefker. It doesn't necessarily mean that he was Mafkir Lederes. So let's say, now at the Gemara's time, obviously, it was no longer the Bezdin of Sura and Narda. It was like the Bezdin of Rabami and Rabasi. Rabami and Rabasi, which are Alimi Lefku Imamona, they are the Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael, everybody's going to rely on, and they can be mafkia moment. Okay, so then if that's the case, then even in Eretz Yisrael, you'd be able to do that. But Avala Kulei Alma, he did not empower lower level Batei Dinim. So it could be that that's part of the original Takana. So you can't prove this from there. Okay, I have another raya from Shmuel. Tashma. Shmuel once said, I got to tell you that this principle is an absolute ulbana de dayane. Now, it's not clear what that means. We'll see what it means. In the end, we're going to come out and say it means it's a real chutzpah on the part of Dayanim. Well, it's a bezdin coming along and being mafkir people's money and so on. It's a terrible affront to decency. And if I had the power, I would cancel this principle jazz. I think it's an embarrassment. So, Aisher Chayo Avatline. Everybody makes fun of it. How do you write a principle? The Torah says to do this. You go write a principle. Rabbis do whatever the heck they want. It's an insult to the Bezdin. And if I mean, nobody's going to listen to me, you know, that's what it sounds like. Nobody's going to listen to me, but if I was, powerful enough, I would make a takana that would cancel a principle. What is that supposed to mean? How is Shmuel going to be able to cancel a principle if you're telling me that Hillel was attacking a principle at Dorot? You can't cancel Hillel's takana, for heaven's sake. So you see from there that obviously Hillel had only made the takana for his generation. Now it remained in effect until somebody cancels it. I, Shmuel, would cancel it, but nobody will go along with me. So what can you do? I can't get people together in a business to cancel it. So the question is, if Ein Bezin Yochel Avato Divrei Bezin Chaverolim Ken Gadolim Ena B'Chochma B'Binyan, and you learned that the takana was L'Doreis, so then how could Shmuel said, I would if I could? No. Maybe that's what Shmuel is saying. You know, if I was a mensch and I learned properly and I got to be as great a Talmud Chacham as Hillel, I would cancel it. That's what he's saying. Well, what could I do right now that I'm an Amoret? But if I were able to be like Hillel, I would cancel it. Maybe that's all that he was saying. So, Achikoma, Ima Yasher Chayel Yoter Mi Hillel, it would make a Bezdin better than Hillel's Bezdin, and I would cancel that din. No principle. Reb Nachman said, well, I can tell you one thing. If I was able to, I would be Mekayim the din of principle. I disagree. What do you mean you'd be Mekayim the Din of Prosper? We don't need you, Reb Nachman, to be Mekayim the Din of Prosper. We have a Din of Prosper. What are you talking about? Ho Mekayim v'koy. What do you mean, Akaimena? No, Reb Nachman was saying, I would expand the authority of a Prosper. I would make a takana that every loan is automatically Prosper. That's what I would do. The same way that we say that Achrayut is a Torah Sofer, I would be Metakein in Bezdin, that any loan includes with it the Tanai Bezdin, that this is able to be collected in Bezdin, and therefore it won't be affected by Shemitah. That's what I would do. So I would take the exact opposite approach. I would say not writing a Prusbel doesn't even matter, because Prusbels should be automatic. Now, when Shmuel used the word Ulbana de Dayane, now, there's two ways of understanding that word. I mean, one ulbana is, it's a chutzpah. It's just like, to act that way is to be ma'aliv, right? There's a lashon of to be ma'aliv. But remember that ulbana is used in the opposite sense. If you are the object of somebody who is ma'aliv, so then you are someone who is sovel elbona. So we could use that. It's elbona de dayanim, meaning we are worried about what the dayanim are going to have to go through if we don't have a prosper. And that's why they made the prosper. I say that really it's all part of the protection of the dayanim. Imagine what happens erev Shemitah. All of a sudden, the court schedule quadruples because thousands of people are saying, listen, it's almost Shemitah. I need to collect this loan. We have to go into overdrive. I mean, the dayanim can't take that. They got enough problems as is. So because of that, to save the dayanim, this ulban, so we made a takana for their benefit. And that's the real thing, you know. You always have to suspect things, says Shmuel. I mean, this is really, the whole thing is just for the dayanim. So which one did he mean? That he would be mevatala? A tashma. Look, Ula uses the word aluva like this. Aluva kalash zinta bekarav chupata. Klal Yisrael is very aluv. So what does aluv mean? Chutzpedik. That's the lashon. Because there we were on Har Sinai, and right there under the chuppah with HaKadosh Baruch, we start making out with some lover under the chuppah, the eagle. Disaster. Disgusting. So you see that aluva means chutzpah. You don't have any shame. Omer of Mori, brother about Shmuel. Yeah, this is basically a pasuk. Ad shahamelech b'mesibo, while the melech malchei amlochim was attending his own chasana party, near Dina Tanrecho, my perfume ended up running out. Boy, did I stink. Omer Rabbi, yeah, but the way that the pasuk is written shows how chaviv we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because, I mean, if we really did stink, I mean, isn't that what it should say? It should say, we started to smell. And instead it says, my perfume ran out. I mean, that's not that bad, right? So, Omar Rava Adayin Chavivutu Gaban, even the pasuk that's talking about how terrible we are, shows how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Because it says, Natan Recho, it doesn't say, Yisriach, it just says, it finished giving off, you know, it ran out. Tanur Rabbanan, there's another also lashon of aluv. Hane elavim ve'inam ovim. So people who are the subject of the insults, but they would never insult someone else. Shomim cherpatan ve'inam meshivim. Osim mi ahava usmechim mi yisurin. Alehem hakatuv omer ve'ohavav kitzei tashemesh begvurato. Remember that when the shemesh went out begvurato, The what happened? The moon starts complaining. Oh, gosh. So, did we have any response? No response. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will handle it. So, the Shemesh was a nelav that you're trying to control the world. You know, Shemesh never said anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the moon smaller, and that was the end of the machlokas, you know. So, that would be the same as Oavav, people who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Arkitseit Hashemesh Begvuratom.